while you may be seated, Lord God. Well, it's certainly good to be here again with you. Praise the Lord. And just, all the churches, we're one family, many locations, so wherever we go, it's just like being home. And of course, this place has a particular spot in my heart because, I got to found this church in that Holiday Inn in downtown Jamestown and labored here, and it was the start of all the other churches. And so this, I call this church my firstborn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So again, thrilled to be here. Usually when I speak, I give a disclaimer not to hold this church and anything I say against this church, but you're home, folks, so you know my ministry, you know my style, and anything you don't like, just swallow it up and wait until your pastors come home and minister to you. Praise the Lord. How many appreciate your pastors?
Yeah.
So thrilled to see that you have a passionate appreciation evening for them, and they're worthy of appreciation. They're good pastors. You're in a safe place to worship and to hear from heaven. And so I've come here tonight with an assignment from heaven. And I believe it's going to help us get this job done. Yeah. If you've been around me any length of time, you hear me say it over and over again. We have a job to do, and we won't rest until that job is done. What is the job? Well, ushering the coming of Jesus. You know, doing our part in the great plan of God, and praying and doing the soul winning in the earth, and that way Jesus can come and take us all home. And so I know many of us are waiting for Jesus to come. Well, he's waiting for us. He's waiting for the precious fruits of the earth. He's waiting for the harvest to come in. And so I believe what we're going to share tonight will help us get much accomplished for the Master. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Reverend Tony and the team there. Hallelujah. It's always a good place of utterance, a good place where the Spirit of God has liberty. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many want what God wants for tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we want. Not our will, but his will. Not our plan, but his plan. Praise the Lord. And whenever I go, I don't have any canned sermons. I don't serve canned sermons. I seek the Lord and ask, Lord, what do you want me to share? And so it always seems like when I'm in this place, not only do I have a message for this local church, but we got people following us all over. And it seems like from this pulpit, there's a voice to carry beyond just this region that we're endeavoring to reach. And I believe many of the messages given here are for the whole body of Christ. And I don't think that this will be any different. I guess they need some help. Is that better? Is that worse? Who is that big black man that came in? Actually, he's not black. Edwin is my brown son. Right? And you think he's black, but he isn't. He's Hispanic. And so, I just really love him because, to have, African-Americans, you got to have some in your church. So he looks like one. Then also the Hispanics, he's Hispanic. And so we use him for that very purpose. You know, he's all things to all men that we might win some. So, but he's a blessing to me, my driver, and a great help at the church. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Edwin. So I'm good to go, right? Praise the Lord. So Ephesians chapter 6. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I've come here by an assignment of the Holy Ghost, the things you placed in my heart for this congregation, not only for this congregation, but for all the family churches, not only for all the family churches, but for the body of Christ at large. And Lord, I pray that I would have utterance tonight to speak as I ought to speak boldly and confidently. Father, that I would speak things that you would have me to say, do things that you would have me to do, that you would be honored and glorified. Lord, we never tire of praying this prayer. Lord, help us get this job done. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would come. And Lord, that this whole thing will be accomplished, and we'll hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So, Lord, use this time together to help us, train us, equip us. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 6, and we start with verse 18, a very familiar portion of Scripture. And it reads this, and it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." I'm reading out of the King James Bible. "And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And so these verses are very often used when you teach on prayer. Brother Hagin over and over again would teach on Ephesians 6:18, and he said pretty much all you need to know about prayer can be found in this verse, in these verses. But we just want to quickly look at these verses and then go in the direction that I believe the Lord has given to me for tonight. First of all, he says to pray always. You know, that used to trouble me as a young believer. You know, how do you pray always? You know, you have to work, you have to eat, you know, you have to sleep. So I know that doesn't mean that you pray 24/7, you know, but I believe it's a lifestyle that, you know, really to pray every day, every opportunity you have to pray. You know, we eat, don't we? We have to eat to sustain our bodies. And you can say we eat always. I mean, we get up, we eat, then, you know, probably about 10, 10:30, we have a little snack to hold us over to lunch. Then, you know, lunch comes, you know, we're excited about lunch. Then, you know, 3 o'clock comes, we have a little snack. Then, you know, we have dinner, you know, 5, 6, 7, whenever you have dinner. And some of us, you know, we just can't get to sleep unless we have a little snack roll just before we go to bed. So you could say we eat always.
Yes, that's right.
And some of us can tell that we eat better than others, right? We eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. So we eat always. And so I believe that's the same thing when he's saying in prayer. It's not like you pray 24/7, but every opportunity to pray, you know, get up, pray. And it doesn't need to be a prolonged time. I mean, there can be prolonged times, like when you have a dinner. Sometimes you have a sit-down dinner, it's prolonged. But, you know, sometimes at work you have a 15-minute break and you grab a Snicker, it's a real quick thing, and so forth. Same thing with prayer. Make it a lifestyle. And even, you know, sometimes we skip a meal. We're not feeling so good, or, you know, we're busy and, you know, you skip a meal. Well, what do you do the next day? You go back to eating again. You know, so it's talking about prayer and the importance of prayer. And that we should pray always. And then it talks about all kinds of prayer, you know, with all prayer. And again, simply means all kinds of prayer. Prayer is like a tool belt or a toolbox, you know. You know, a toolbox or a tool belt has more than one tool. Mr. Wright there, he is a carpenter. He's done some work on our church, and we sure appreciate it. Makes it look very pretty. And, you know, believe it or not, I work construction. And, you know, I like hammers. I do. And, you know, back when we used to hammer roof nails, I guess now it's all, you know, the automatic, you know, in a machine that does it for you. But we used to use the old-fashioned hammer, 22-ounce. And, you know, we learned to get very skillful that with one roofing nail, you hit it in. I mean, that's what we strove at. And I was pretty good at that. And I love my hammer. And man, anytime I get to use my hammer, I love my hammer. But, you know, not everything works with a hammer.
Right.
You know, when I need to saw a board, you know, you just cannot use a hammer. Well, you could, but it wouldn't be very pretty. And so, you know, there's different tools for different things you need to do. You know, when we put in drywall screws, you know, you certainly wouldn't, well, you could use a hammer, you certainly a saw either. You need a screwdriver. And again, now everything is, you know, they got machines where it does it for you, and drill heads and so forth. But, you know, we understand this. Different different tools are meant for different things. And when you use the right tool, things work. When you use the wrong tool, it can be pretty messy. Yeah. You know, trying to cut that 2x4 with a hammer, pretty messy. When you try to put a screw in with a saw, pretty messy. So that's why it says here, you know, praying always, just when you pray, just don't kind of use the hammer all the time. You know, understand there's different kinds of prayer. And, you know, we could teach on that, but you're taught well here. Your pastors teach you this. And if you've gone to the ministry training center, we taught on prayer. There's, you know, there's a prayer praying in tongues, a prayer of intercession. But that isn't a cure-all for everything. You know, there's a prayer of faith where you just pray once, believe you receive. And then there's a prayer of praise and worship. And so what are you saying? Use all these types of prayer and pray always as you go along your day. Become proficient in prayer. So prayer, Jesus said this, my house shall be a house of prayer. So prayer is pretty important. And I know you're taught these things. But my assignment here tonight has to do on the topic of prayer. For the past couple of years, and I think I mentioned this last time I was here, and I think it started in the fall of 2017, I had a visitation of the Lord. When I mean visitation of the Lord, Jesus didn't necessarily appear to me, and he has, you know, throughout my ministry, he appeared and told me things. You know, when in 2006, I was caught up to heaven and gave me an assignment concerning getting the church ready for the coming of the Lord. He said, I'm coming soon. Get ready. So I've had those visitations. But, you know, there's a variety of different kinds of visitation. Well, this visitation, you know, I was praying in my own business, and the Spirit of God came upon me and began to talk to me, and especially about the end times in the last days, because I've been seeking God, you know, because my job is to get this thing done. Yeah. Lord, let's get it done. Ever since I was born, I had the consciousness of two things. That number one, I was called in the ministry, and that came to pass. But also, with that same consciousness, that I would be alive and in ministry when Jesus came for the church. And, you know, my visitations have to do with Jesus coming. When I got called to heaven, Jesus said to me, I'm coming soon, get ready. And so, you know, everything I do is to that end. You know, with the churches, spreading out the net in order to get this job done, to get ready for the return of the Lord. And so in this visitation, the Spirit of God came on me because I was seeking him concerning getting this job done. And he came on me and told me and gave me an assignment, not only for me personally, but for our churches, the family churches. And not only the family churches, but the universal church. And he said this, the churches part in the last days are to pray. And over again, in different times in these last few years, even this past week, he's reminded me of that assignment. He just, you know, it said this when Paul was on the way to Jerusalem, and he said, the Spirit beareth witness in every city that bonds and afflictions awaited me. What's that saying? That wherever he went with believers, the Spirit of God would over and over again emphasize what was going to happen. You know, and so this is the same thing over and over again. You know, getting in prayer, the Spirit of God would remind me, get the churches to pray. Get people to pray. And so I'm endeavoring to obey that heavenly vision. And, you know, and part of the reason, of course, we know the big picture. You know, Jesus is waiting for the precious fruits of the earth, James chapter 5. And he has long patience for it till he receives the early and latter rain. And so before the big harvest can come, before Jesus can come, there has to be a big harvest. And before there's a big harvest, there has to be an outpouring of the Spirit. And we know this, that outpouring won't come unless the church prays. Zechariah 10:1, ask ye the Lord rain. Now, I'm just kind of quoting these scriptures because you're the grown-up folks. You're Tuesday night folks. You're not SOBs. Now, you thought I cussed. I got that from my daddy, Dr. The Frame. You know what an SOB Christian is? The Sunday only bunch. Amen. And so you're not SOBs, praise the Lord. And so I'm quoting these scriptures because I believe that, you know, you're a little bit more mature and understand some of the scriptures of the Bible. I can just give references and rather have to turn to it. And so, you know, we have to pray for the rain. We have to pray for that pouring. That God can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. John Wesley said that. And we know that you have not because you ask not. Remember Elijah, when he said there's a sound of abundance of rain, he just didn't sit there and wait for that prophecy to come to pass. What did he do? He prayed. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed until the rain came. And so I believe that's why the Spirit of God is over and over. It's almost like, I don't want to say stressing me, but he's just strongly impressing. Paul said this, the Spirit speaketh expressly in the last days. That there's some things that the Spirit of God is really emphasizing. And in my life in ministry, it's been in the area of prayer. And, you know, for the universal work of God, but I believe for what God is going to do in this region. And, you know, there's some things that have been prophesied for this region. And the way we're going to get it done is through the area of prayer.
Amen.
Yeah. I remember I had a vision, and again, part of my ministry is given to that, actually in the vision, I was right in the sanctuary. I've actually had more than one vision in the sanctuary, but I wasn't physically in the sanctuary. My spirit, you know, took a tour. And I just remember being here because this was the start of all the churches. And I saw all our ministers around, you know, in the front here. And the word of the Lord came unto me. Now, the word of the Lord is the audible voice of the Holy Ghost in this vision. And this is the first time he ever referred to me with this phrase. He said, "Son of man, prophesy thou to these people." And so normally he doesn't use the term son of man, but if you read the book of Ezekiel over and over again, he would refer to Ezekiel, "Son of man, prophesy thou this," that, or "prophesy thou that." And so here I am, and for some reason, I was ready to prophesy, and I wanted to face the west. Now, somehow in the vision, I knew where west was. Right now, I wouldn't know which way's west. Which way's west? That way. Okay. All right. That way. I always wondered when Brother Hagin would have visions, he would talk about the north, south, east, west, and says, well, are there signs in heaven? Are there signs in the spirit? But somehow in the spirit, you know things that you don't naturally know. And so I naturally wanted to point to the west because, you know, I've studied moves of God. You know, everything happens over there, you know, over the west, this side of the United States. And so I was ready to prophesy to the west coast in front of these ministers around me. And then the word of the Lord came to me again saying, "No, son of man, prophesy thou to the east coast of this nation." And I said, all right. And I turned and I began to speak about what God wanted to do in the east coast. And part of it was exactly what we read in Joel. I mean, we can read out of Joel's, but in Acts chapter 2, "It shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall see, you know, visions, and, you know, they shall prophesy visions, signs, miracles, and wonders." And what the Spirit of God wants to do in these last days. But as you know, it just doesn't come to pass just because you'd like it to. And it doesn't come to pass just because the Lord said it. You know, we see that in the ministry of Elijah. Even though he prophesied something, he had to pray in order for it to come to pass. You read in James chapter 5 that he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. That's very interesting when you read in 1 Kings chapter 17. You don't see the prayer part. You just see him go to King Ahab and says, "It's not going to rain no dew in 3 years." And then he disappeared. But in the book of James, we find the revelation, even though the Lord had him prophesied that, he prayed that that would come to pass. See, prophecies need to be prayed out for them to be fulfilled. If you don't pray them out, they won't be fulfilled, even though God wants to do it. And again, when God wanted to send rain, he said, "Go show yourself to Ahab, for I'm going to send the rain." And he goes up to Ahab and says, "I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Get ready." And what did he do? He got on his face and prayed. And he said to his servant, "Go check, see if there's any clouds." Nothing. And he said, "Go check seven times." And then the seventh time he saw a cloud like the size of a man's hand. And he said, go get Ahab, tell him you better get going. And of course, the heavens got dark and rain came. So why is that in the Bible? That's how this is going to come to pass. The things that were spoken these last days. We know Dr. Frame spoke about them. We know Kenneth A. Hagin spoke about them. The Lord has bared witness to me concerning that vision that there is something big he wants to do in the east of this nation. And so prayer is a big part of that. And maybe some of you were here when Dr. Dufresne, my spiritual daddy, was alive. I was sitting over here, and he had a vision. Actually, he saw two big angels. How many were here for that? Yeah, now, for those of you that weren't, know that I'm not making this up. And he saw two big angels, and they were spinning like tops. And doctor said, I've never saw that before. And those angels begin to say this, I'm going to do it again in this region. I'm going to do it again in this region. And so God wants to do it again in this region. And so what does he mean by doing it again in this region? Well, I knew it immediately that he was talking about what happened in the days of Charles Finney. I'm a student of Charles Finney just because most revivals, like I said, happened everywhere else. But Charles Finney revivals happened in New York State primarily, upstate New York, in our backyard, so to speak. And the church that we're in now was a part of that revival and had a tent meeting. We don't know if Charles Finney actually came down to Fredonia, but during that move of God, that church, being the Baptists and the Methodists, were part of that move of God. And that move of God swept this area in an amazing way. And church historians say this and confirm this, that there has been no revival and no success through any move throughout the church history like Charles Finney, except for the Apostle Paul. We know the Apostle Paul would go somewhere and he said all of Asia heard the word. I mean, he would stir cities wherever he went. And that's what Finney would do. It would change things. You know, the city of Rochester was called a burnt out district. That, you know, they'd had revivals and they failed. And it seemed like they were very hardened to revivals. And Charles Finney got many invitations to go there, but he wasn't interested. Why do I want to go to a burnt out area? I want to go where people are hungry and you know, want the move of God. And then the Spirit of God says, if that area is dead like they say it is, isn't that the very reason why you should go? Yeah. He says, all right, I'll go. And he would have Father Nash and some others would go many times, days and weeks before he would show up. And all they would do was pray and pray. And you know, when he came to the city of Rochester, after that revival was done, over 100,000 people got born again. They figured just about everybody, of course Rochester is much bigger now, but figured that just about everybody in the city of Rochester got saved during that move of God. You know, all they called them grog shops, like beer joints closed down, all the theaters closed down, just because people got born again. They weren't interested in that. They were interested in God. And that would happen, that type of ministry would happen over and over again in this region. And so when those two angels came, I'm going to do it again in this region, that's what it's talking about, that type of move of God. And if you are, just observe it, you know it isn't here yet. We don't see that yet. And so here we see that God said it. God wants it, but it's not here yet. So what do we need to do? We pray until it shows up.
Yes.
And it's very interesting. You know, I study Charles Finney and his ministry. I try to read his autobiography at least once a year. And he said this. Now listen to this. What was the key to the move of God in his life, in his ministry? And I'm just quoting from his book. In regard to my own experience, I say that unless I had the spirit of prayer, I could do nothing. If I lost the spirit of grace and supplication even for a day or an hour, I find myself unable to preach with power and efficiency or to win souls by personal conversation. I have said before that the means that I've used all along thus far in promoting the vials were much prayer, secret and social, public, secret and social prayer, public preaching and personal conversation, and visitation from house to house. And when inquiries became multiplied, appointed meetings for them invited were to meet for instruction. And these were the only means I've used in attempting to secure the conversion of souls. So what was he saying? He was saying, unless there was a spirit of prayer upon him, unless the people prayed, he could do nothing. He said everything that he did, the great results, had to do with the spirit of prayer in his life and the prayer of the congregation. And reading his autobiography, he was doing some, someone was doing some traveling to get up into where Finney was. And they said in this 300-mile journey, every town there were prayer meetings going on. That every town they went to, there were people praying. And I tell you, people were just knocked under power. If they got near some of Finney's meetings, they fell out in power and got convicted. I don't know about you, but I want to see that again.
Amen.
Well, it can be ours if the price is right through prayer. That's why the Spirit of God is speaking expressly over and over and over again. Get the church to pray. You know, when we say pray, people at different spiritual levels, I pastor, when you say to pray, if you get people to pray 5 minutes, for some people, that's pretty good. But I tell you, to get into some of these things, it's going to take some prolonged praying. Like Elijah, getting on our face and travailing and cry out to God. So God will not be satisfied until we see this thing come to pass. And so part of my job is to stir that up, that call to prayer. And more, I have ministers that come teaching people to pray. And, just to stir up that prayer. I believe it's through the spirit of prayer. Now, what is the spirit of prayer? That means you pray without even recognizing it. And, I've weaved in now the spirit of prayer. There's times I prayed up to 12 hours a day. Oh man, wasn't that bondage? No, I went about my day. It's sort of like this. Is it bondage to breathe? You do it unconsciously, unless you have some disease and where you have to, try to take a breath. But I tell you, you breathe without even knowing it. And the same thing, the spirit of prayer will get on me, and I'll just pray and carry out my day, and just on the inside, interacting with God, praying in tongues. And the more I pray that way, more supernatural things happen. I like something Kenneth E. Hagin said. He said, the greatest miracles, the greatest healings, the greatest financial miracles, meaning breakthrough and help, came after a prolonged time of praying in other tongues. Prolonged time. And so, I love to preach on those things. But I am getting to somewhere that the Spirit of God has led me to share with you. But again, I'm trying to stir up that spirit of prayer. Deep calls unto deep. I don't know about you, but I want to see these things. For us to see these things, there's got to be an increase of prayer in the church. Get my church to pray. But tonight, I'm going to focus on something that of just the past couple of weeks the Lord has laid on my heart concerning the family churches here, especially tonight. And what is that? Is praying for your pastors and praying for the work they're doing. And that's part of it. That's part of it. And we're going to see that much of what they can do and much what they cannot do is really dependent on you and your prayer life. And last couple of years, this has come more and more real to me. You know, as a young man, I sat under Kenneth E. Hagin. Brother Hagin taught us, learn to do your own praying. Because you see a lot of people that don't pray, and they're always asking the pastor to pray and so forth. The Bible says the thing means, let him pray. And so you learn to be skillful. You ought to be in a place that you trust your prayers more than anyone else's prayers. A lot of people have faith in other people's praying. You ought to have faith in your own praying and learn how to pray well. You know, become skillful. You know, the carpenter over here is skillful in the use of his hammer, his saw, and so forth. If he didn't know how to saw a board or hit a nail, he shouldn't be a carpenter. He should have confidence in what he's doing. Yeah. Same thing in our prayer life. And I've always relied heavily on my own prayer life. I prayed for hours and hours and seen God do great things. But when I got to my fourth phase of ministry, I had a vision. And in that vision, I saw that I've completed three laps like in a racetrack. And what I understood from the Lord that I completed those three phases of ministry very well, or at least I passed. But I saw that the fourth lap, there was this big, ugly, hideous mountain. And I knew I had to climb over that thing to get into my fourth phase. And of course, I was all, you know, in the vision, ran up it. And I'd get up, just a quarter, and I'd just lie down. It was like muddy and slimy and gooey. And I tried again, and I just couldn't get over it. And all of a sudden, I saw that there were books on this gooey mountain. And I would grab those books and just start digging into that mountain, digging in it. And it got me up further in the mountain, but I could only get halfway up there. Then I slid down. Then in the vision, I cried out, help me, help me. Then I realized I could never get to the other side unless people prayed for me. And it all came to pass. I went through, I can tell you the exact day when it started, April the 15th. The Spirit of God came on me, and I prophesied for 20 minutes about some things. And from that point, all hell broke loose. I went through one of the most severe trials of my life. And I couldn't shake it. I couldn't get over everything. I got into Pastor Nancy's book just to try to get relief from the oppression, trying to get past this mountain. And then I realized I'm going to need people to pray for me. I will never get to where I need to be unless the church prays. And so we have our midweek service, and I didn't tell my people what's going on. I just said, I need you to pray for me. And I believe we took two Tuesday nights. And I just say, I'm just going to have you pray for me. Didn't tell them, didn't give them any details of it, because a lot of people get in their minds and they start offering sympathy. Sympathy doesn't help anyone. Faith does. And so I didn't need any sympathy. I didn't need someone to weigh me down. I need someone to lift me over. And so, but I knew this at the second prayer meeting that we had, the Spirit of God hit me. You know, no one laid hands, it just hit me. And I knew I got the other side. I didn't get on the other side on the ground immediately, but I knew I got over the crevice of it. That it'd take a while, but I'd get out of it. But I saw this. I would never have gotten there unless the church prayed for me. And what I want to do tonight is just look at some scriptures of the importance of you praying for your man and woman of God. Now, we saw here in Ephesians 6:18, praying with all prayer, all supplication. So Paul's telling them, hey, pray always. Use the right tools in prayer. But notice this in verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to speak, to make known the mystery of the gospel, that I'm ambassador in bonds, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So very interesting. He tells the church to pray. And he says, and when you're praying, pray for me. Now, very interesting. This is the great apostle Paul. Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. He was an apostle, prophet, a teacher. He was caught up to heaven. No doubt he had great oracle skills, you know, visitations of angels, and yet this great apostle is pleading to the church, pray for me. Pray for me. And it wasn't just an ease the conscience thing. I believe it's just like, you know, in a measure like, well, his measure would be greater of like what I experienced. I can't do certain things. I can't get anywhere unless you pray for me. Now, notice this. Here he said this, that you pray for me that utterance would be given unto me, that I'd open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so right here, and we know any minister, their primary job is to speak as the oracles of God, to bring the word of God, to have a message of heaven, to feed the flock of God. But notice this, that the church needs to pray that they may open their mouth boldly, that they may have utterance, they may speak as the oracles of God. And so here Paul, the great apostle, says that I need you to pray that way I can speak as I ought to speak. That tells us if the church didn't pray, he's not being able to say what he needs to say. You know, your pastors are great preachers and teachers. You know, I'm kind of humbled to even be up here because Pastor Tim, Pastor Katie, man, they're top notch. Where Mama hides the cookies. They're that type of preachers. Amazing preachers. And God has blessed them. But there's some things they can never say or never do unless you pray for them. And so pray for your pastors. You know, I believe this has to do with sowing and reaping. You know, the more you sow into your pastors in prayer, the more you'll reap from the benefits of their anointing and their offices. You know, a lot of times people just are takers. They come and they want the pastor to do things and help them. And thank God babies, it's all right for babies to be takers. But it's time we get our big boy pants and big girl pants on and start being not just takers, but givers. And we're not just talking financially. I'm talking about the realm of the spirit. You know, it's like a vending machine. There's a vending machine and there's lots of goodies. You want the goodies. How do you get the goodies? You got to put something in. You know, the more you put in the vending machine, the more that can come out. The same thing with your pastors. The more you pray for them, you uphold them, the more you sow into them. And that comes in deposits in the spirit, and that more will come out of them to help and bless you. You know, if you're here and you're starting to think, well, I don't get anything more out of Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie's ministry anymore. You know what that means? That doesn't mean you've grown so spiritual they can't feed you. That means you've grown so carnal that you're not praying for them. Yeah, God can use a donkey. He can use anybody. But how much more your pastors are anointed and called and equipped this place to feed you. But, you know, if you're not getting anything, that's a good indicator. You need to start putting something into them. Start praying for them. Blessed be the Lord. Now, I can tell you stories, but my time is slipping, but maybe a little. All through, of course, I get people that come and they're takers. And right away, they're takers because people pray, you know, we pray and so forth. And they come, their life has changed. And they come at the end of the service with tears. Oh, Pastor, my life has changed. Oh, I'm so glad I found the church. And my life was never going to be the same. I mark them down. They're going to stab me in the back before long, you know. And then 6 months and a year, sure enough, Pastor, something's wrong with you. You don't have what you used to have. You're not where you should be spiritually. I just don't get anything out of your preaching. Yeah, I said to my face. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I smile and says, oh, I'm sorry. Well, there's the door because you can't help people like that. You know, you try to, but they won't get anything. Why? And I know exactly that they're not praying. They're not putting anything into me. Therefore, the Spirit of God. The Bible says this, what a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. And it's not just with money. What you sow in your pastors, prayer. It will, you will reap that. God says, I will not be mocked. The more you sow into them, financially, yes, but also spiritually. You know, your pastors appreciate your compliments, but what they appreciate more is you're praying for them. And here Paul said, pray for me that I might have utterance. So how do you pray for your pastors? Pray. Father, give them utterance. Help them to speak boldly as they ought to speak. And the more you sow, the more you'll reap. Now, turn with me to another scripture. The Bible says the mouth two or three witnesses. And so I want to go over this quickly because I wanted to stir you for the move of God. You know, God's going to do it again. Just get praying. But specifically tonight, I want to encourage you to be praying, not just for the move of God, but for your pastors. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 2. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Again, this mighty apostle caught up to heaven is asking the church to pray for them. Now notice, again, very similar, that the word, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And so here, he says that the word of God may have free course, and the word of God may be glorified. And it, you may not know this, but whenever you speak, there's different flows that go on. You know, I've been in places where, man, I couldn't wait to get out of that place. I prayed, I fasted, I meditated. I came full like Jesus going to his hometown of Nazareth, and I could there do no mighty work. And man, it was like my words hit the back wall and slapped me in the face. And after 40 minutes, you know, I closed her down and said, thank you, Jesus. Come now. You know, get out of that. What? The Word of God didn't have free course. There was no room made in the Spirit. And it was hard, laborious, and so forth. You never want your pastors to go through that. Why? They didn't pray. Man, but there's been other times. Man, you just step up and it's like there's a flow. There's a flow behind you and things come out of your spirit. Man, not only are people being blessed, you're getting blessed. Man, that is good. And you know it's God because I never said that before and they come as the oracles of God. That's what you want for your pastors. How's it come? You pray that the word of God would have free course and be glorified. Now, very interesting, the second part, we see another thing to be praying concerning your pastors, that they may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So right along with praying for your pastors, for the word and the ministry and the anointing, the full measure of their offices, the flow, you also need to be praying for your pastors that they'd be delivered from wicked and unreasonable people. We know this God uses people to help and bless others. We know Satan uses people to hinder and hurt others as well. And when God pointed your pastors, not only to be pastors here and now the Erie Church, you know, the devil just isn't going to sit by and say, man, I lost Jamestown. I lost Erie. I'm just going to have to go to another city and try to do my thing. I mean, it'll be contended. The Bible says there's a great door and effectual, and there are many adversaries. Whenever we started the church, there's always been opposition, and opposition usually came through people. People that Satan would influence to hinder the work of God. Sometimes they were Christian people. Sometimes they were ministers. But sometimes there are zoning boards and people that hold political positions that can control you and so forth. But here it says to pray that your pastors will be delivered from such things. And so you praying can deliver your pastors from satanic attacks of others. And you also, please know this, that Satan will try to come against the family and people in the family. Your praying can deliver them from such attacks. See, much of what your pastor has is up to you. Much of what the pastor experiences or don't experience is up to you.
Okay, yes.
Paul understood this.
Yes.
I need you to pray for
Good.
Me. Because if you'll pray for me, I'll be delivered. I won't need to go through some tests and trials that Satan sets up. If you will pray for me,
yes.
Do that for your pastors. Again, they appreciate your compliments. Your Pat's good preaching, but they covet your prayers. And again, the mouth of two or three witnesses. Turn with me real quick to the book of Romans. Why don't I say I'm fixing to close, and I'll give you about another 40 minutes before I finish this thing up. As a guest minister, I purpose never to preach longer than the pastor does. So Pastor Tim goes, what, 2 or 3 hours on a Tuesday night? So I'm good. I'll be able to get to the bottom of this in a little while. But again, I'm stressing the importance of you praying. Not only will it benefit them and protect them, it will bless you immeasurably. Romans 15, 28 through 33. When therefore I perform this and sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you to Spain. So he's saying, I'm coming to you, Rome. And I'm sure that I come to you, I shall come with the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So he says, When I come, I'm going to come. I want to pour into you. I want to give you all that God has. I want you to experience the fullness of my grace and my anointing and my revelation. Now, how's that accomplished? Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Can you see this tread going on? Over and over in the churches, Paul is saying, pray for me, that way I can minister to you. And here he says, and even for the Lord's sake, because the Lord has some things that he wants to do, but he can't get it through your pastors unless you pray. Now notice again verse 31. Again, that we may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. So we see those two things again. Boldness, utterance, the fullness of all that God has placed in your pastors. You pray for that it be released, but also delivered from the attacks of Satan, from unreasonable, wicked men. There's many things that your pastors can avoid, tests and trials, if you'll pray. But if you don't pray, it can go the other way. And Paul understood this. Not like this. Verse 32, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed. The greatest thing for a preacher is when he comes up and preaches, man, there is utterance, there is liberty. I mean, they come in peace. There's not a lot of hell breaking out around them that they have to cast off like everyone else does. You do understand a preacher is not graced any more than you are to live this Christian life. Yes, cast his cares upon you. He goes through things. But man, the greatest thing is to go to a place and have the Spirit of God speak to them. You know, have the grace of God where it's, man, the wind is on your back. Things are well. And after he's done, he says, man, I'm refreshed. Man, let's go do this again. That's what you want. That's what you want for your guest ministers when they come. Man, when they come, they're refreshed, not only financially, but spiritually, that when they gave and they ministered, man, it was so thrilling that they were excited and wanted to do it all over again. But it's up to you. It's up to you. Paul recognized this. Man, you just think there can't be any more scriptures along this line. Philippians 1:19. Wait for pages to stop turning. And this is Paul the Apostle, has more revelation than anybody. And notice what he said to the Philippians. For I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, you have to understand, Paul's in prison right now. And in prison, you can't go out and preach. The devil's got him where he wants him. You know, of course, he's able to write letters and do much through letters, but not as much as he could outside of prison. And so he's in prison, and he writes to the Philippian church. He says, for I know this shall... There's things that can turn for your pastor. Situations, you know, with the Erie church, with zoning, with maybe any issues that political people or evil people, even personal things in your pastor's life, those things can turn for your pastors. And Paul knew this. He said, I know that this will turn. I know I will get out. Well, and this will turn my salvation. That word salvation means deliverance. What he's talking about is, I know I'm going to get out of jail. How does he know? Is it because he's a great man of faith and power? He says, know this. I know that she'll turn my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. What is that? Your prayer supply. Notice, it's not just for the preaching utterance. It's in your personal life to be delivered from evil. Delivered from evil things. Delivered out of situations. A lot of times we rely on our pastor, and that's good and right, but your pastor relies upon you. Your pastors need you to pray for them. Much of what happens or don't happen for your pastors is up to you. Remember Jesus, Mark chapter 6, went in his own hometown and could there do your mighty work. Here, God wanted to do a mighty work in Nazareth. Jesus, the preacher, who had the fullness of the measure of the Spirit of God. You can't get any more measure of the Spirit of God. So he was not having a bad spiritual day. And here, God and Jesus came to the town and couldn't do anything. Just people wouldn't let him. And so we see this. The importance of our prayers for our spiritual leaders. Now, in closing, let's see a prime example of this. Acts chapter 12. I taught you by precept. Two or three witnesses over Apostle Paul. Even though he was a great orator, he needed the church to pray. Now we see this in action. Acts 12, 1 through 5. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Wicked and unreasonable man in political office. And notice this, he killed James, the brother John, with a sword. This wicked and evil man killed an apostle. And quite easily. And notice this, and because it saw it pleased the Jews, it proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So here, this man was used of Satan, kills James, and says, man, that's easy. Man, I'm going to just start going down the road and take all the apostles out. That way we'll stop the gospel from being preached. In verse 4, when he had apprehended him and put him in prison, and delivered four quaternions of soldiers to keep him after Easter. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without of the church unto God for him. Notice how the Holy Ghost said this. Prayer was made without ceasing for Peter. There is no mention of prayer being made for James. What happened to James? He died. It didn't turn for him. Why didn't it turn for him? There was no mention of the church praying. Now you read this whole account. Not only was Peter delivered from death, I mean angels were released. Things happened. Gates were opening. Supernatural visitations were happening to Peter. Not to James, but to Peter. Why? The church prayed for Peter. And you read the end of the chapter. Because the church prayed for Peter to be delivered from unreasonable wicked men, delivered from prison, then God took care of Herod. You know, we don't pray judgment on people, but you pray for your man, woman of God. And this has happened throughout church history. You know, when you stretch forth your hand against God's anointed, judgment can come. It happened in the days of Finney. People would try to break up the revival, and he warned them, you're either going to get saved or you're going to die. And they would die. I mean, bam. And the word got out, don't you mess. Don't you mess. Remember Ananias and Sapphira. Bam. Great fear came upon the church. See, it all is up to you, whether you pray or not. We know this in James chapter 5, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Dynamic is working. Make power available for your pastors. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, bokuna kudraska dish kudratis kudrati tingunya yaputuna. Yes, Father. Yes, my master. This is Tuesday night, so I'm allowed to. I have a little bit more liberty to move in the spirit. When I was 19 years old, I got saved when I was 18. Then I went to Rhema. I just turned 19 at Rhema. I was in a conference at Rhema with Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. And he was teaching on prayer. There was a great emphasis on prayer, the importance of prayer. And the Spirit of God spoke through him. And how the Spirit of God is always looking through the body of Christ for people to respond to him to pray. Because we understand this, God cannot do anything for humanity unless someone asks him, unless someone prays. And, you know, many, many people are just too caught up with natural affairs. Or maybe don't know how to pray. And the Spirit of God is always looking for people to pray. And the Spirit of God was almost like weeping through him. And just saying, I'm looking for people to pray. And here I was a Catholic boy. You know, you're not taught much spiritual things as a Catholic boy. But I sat there. And I remember being in the chair and I said, Lord, I don't understand a whole lot what's going on. But if you need someone to pray, here am I, Lord. Use me. And as a 19-year-old, God began to teach me about prayer. And begin to show me things about prayer and begin to give me assignments of prayer. And I'm not saying this boast, but I prayed many, many people out of death. I'd see them die, they're living today. I've prayed many times where great evil was going to come on someone. And then I'd pray and it would change. Why? Responding to the Spirit of prayer. You know, there's some things that the prayer of faith cannot accomplish. I'm sure James prayed the prayer of faith. I believe I received release from prison. He got killed. There are just some things that can only be accomplished when people make power available. And I could give you story, and about where assignments have come. And I prayed those things out. People are alive today because of prayer. And that isn't a pat on the shoulder. It's just the Spirit of God is looking for people. And He's looking for people today. And if you're here and you'd like to respond to that call, I'm going to minister to you. Because there's some things that can be imparted and with the spirit of prayer. There's some things, because of the office I stand in, can kind of stir some of those things and impart some of those things. And if you'd like to just respond and say, Lord, I want to be one of those. Come forward, I'll lay hands on you. But don't come unless you're serious about it. And understand, you may not be in a phase of life where you can respond to that. But some of us have a little bit more time. But as a 19-year-old, I begin to pray. And once you get a taste of how you can help people and how you can make a difference in people's life, you're not satisfied. I don't like to go a day without praying, because knowing there's someone that needs my prayer. And constantly there's assignments I have. I the Spirit of God will show me things, and then to pray for people to get on the other side of this. And so primarily we're going to start, you need to be praying for your pastors. And not just, oh God, remember, but to give some more time to praying for them and praying for the move of God in the earth. And if you like to enlist in this, I'm going to invite you to follow Pastor Brett's lead and come on up. I'll lay hands on you. Now again, these areas, you don't get goofy. It doesn't make you a prophet. Most of my praying, no one knows that I do it. I do it at home. And I like to be a secret agent. I don't pass on business card. I'm a prayer person. Oh, this God showed me this. No, I'm a secret agent. God trusts me with things because I don't share about them. And God wants to use people like this more and more. To get this thing done, like those angels said, it's going to take this kind of prayer. And so if that's you, we're going to have Pastor direct you. And just come on forward, and I'll lay hands on you. Just kind of as a consecration, but also a jump start on this. And it would help me if you just put your hands out and don't be praying when I lay hands on you. So I want to impart. Master, yes. When you gave the call, the Spirit of God just dropped, just fell. And Father, in obedience to the heavenly vision, you told me the church's part is to pray and to stir people to pray. Lord, we've got to get this job done. And we know a great part of it is through the vehicle of prayer. And Father, these have come forward just like I did when I was 19 years old. You're my Lord. If you can use me, use me. And Father, you took me seriously. And so Father, I pray as these are here, as I minister to them, I thank you that what is in me, that spirit of prayer, that hunger for God, and that desire to help people would be imparted to them. And Father, that not only will it shake this church in a positive way, it'll shake this region in the world. And so, Father, as I lay hands, I thank you for the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name. Ha. Huh. Namo Torius.
Oh, la pele, peletto, con masso, con dresh, con dresh. Ah, yes, dresh. The beautiful thing about prayer, we all can do this. Male, female, doesn't matter how old or young, we all can get involved. Ah, yes, beletto, yes, con dorgiamma, con da, yes, travesita. Yes, travesicula, travesia, con da. Dar Jesu, Jesu Trafis. Oh, Babalito, Jesu Trafis.
Thank you.
Marito, Jesu. Oh, Labadre, Nelly Takis, Kubre, Jesu, Kadam, Gord, Jesu. Oh, Bonin, the Ha, Bonin, the Ha.
You're filled with the Holy Ghost, correct? Okay, no pray, just receive. You don't need to follow to receive, but it helps. Just receive. Yes. There, went into you. Yes, good. I'll lay hands until it goes in. Samandravas saboninas. Samandato drevesica. Open in sicinitos. Yeah. Oh. Apeninas. Bravalino palitos. La patrona sicula bagnandos. Yeah. Niso. Nipesica nida sicadedo. Yesu. Light. Oh, yes, I believe that apposito, Yesu. Yesu, palita. Bra. Yes. Light. Oh, la venina habadida bonanas. Oh, bonita. Yes. Light. Brevesi bonanas. Sipa. Oh, my. Yes, Upada. Yes. Hearts.
hearts. Yes. Messengers. Yeah. Ah, yes. Oh, Lumelita. Seek it out. Barita. Mama. Let's just pray for a little bit. Let's just pray in tongues as I minister to start praying in tongues. Yes. Yes. Love you, Father. Hands up, please. Light. Yesu pato daria su pati babu na madrafa se palato kamanano. Niba labo drafia su pokunano. Apalito yesu drafia se kanano yesu podato. Livers a bella be hopers. Yesu drafia se kanano. Now. Help him with that, Lord. I see that. Let's just pray. Yes, change. Rava lapa drevi shepolo mataku yeshku drevi shukum. No more, Satan. Dreve lapa drevi shukuna bakushke tokushka drevi tananda. Yeah, change. Brapa todesku drafia todo pato metaku esku dreves nesa pada podriama taku letoresku kuni dravie todesku kunando kumando kumere and it will change ah natoreku la kuniendo dravi dido torke keto kuska dravas and you'll see it being the pelatoresku dreves sikina yeah and you'll be glad and you'll rejoice and know that the hand of the Lord this night has changed the course. Adrete letor che pelletar yakun ginga no dar yesu tre. Light has come. Yes, palapa yakro. Dreven lepator yakun skando. Dreva dandor yesko drafesi. Prophecies of kumiko na. Yeah, I understand that. Ah, yes, udo gabadinas. The prophecies. Messendo Yesu. Boulder bebele babando kumako. Dredesha padias opers again. Yeah, nisunata gaze. Oh, Papa Latoresu. Nezundurgakuna. Yeah. Change. Yes. Change has come. Bizi bim detekte. And Babar Gabalatra ketekiso. Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you for that. So what was that? It was an assignment. Took care of something. And you notice we didn't take a whole long time.
Yeah.
Now, it's easier when you got a group of people, but there's things I've taken care of in 3 minutes. Change things, you know. And so how do you do it? Number one, you just pray lots in the Holy Ghost. You don't try to make anything happen. And the Spirit of God will teach you where you're at. Where I'm at today is after 30 years of daily training. And so don't try to mimic me or whatever, but in your own prayer life, just get to know the Holy Ghost and ask Him to train you. And many times you'll be praying things out that you don't even know that you're helping people. But as He can trust you, as you grow, He'll begin to let you in on a little bit. And if He can trust you with that little bit, He'll give you a little bit more.
Yes.
And a little bit more, praise the Lord. But praise the Lord. Well, if I could leave here knowing that we're going to pray for our pastors, get this job done, I've accomplished my mission. May my fruit remain. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the pastor.
Glory to God.
We're going to go ahead and get ready to receive tonight's tithes and offerings. But I'll tell you, we got our assignment here tonight. Amen. This is a pivotal, mark this day, because this is pivotal for many of us to give ourselves and see the importance of, you know, our pastors that we have, but the plan of God moving forward, it requires prayer. Same thing what Pastor Michael said concerning words that we've received, things that the Lord wants to do in our lives, prophecies that have gone forth in ourselves personally as well as the area. Without prayer, you know, those things don't get accomplished. And so we have our marching orders, amen, and we want to be doers of and be a steward, a good steward of the impartation that we received here tonight. So let's move forward with this, amen. Just be sober about this, because it's a tremendous, wonderful thing. Tonight, concerning the offering, we're going to be taking up an offering for Pastor Michael. Now, if you brought your tithes with you tonight, the tithe goes to the local church, so make sure that you specify on your giving envelope that that is specifically for the tithe. But the offering is as you purpose above and beyond your tithe. That is going to be going to Pastor Michael tonight. So we want to make sure to honor our man of God. It's just, you know, we always say that when you give, connect your joy to it. God delights, he prizes above all other things a joyful, prompt to do a giver whose heart is in his giving. So just connect your joy to it. Whatever that dollar amount is, make sure your joy is there. If the Lord puts something specifically on your heart to give, obey God first and foremost. But we just want to bless the man of God. Thank him for, you know, just as faithful as he's been in the impartation and the voice that he has, not only in the family churches, but his voice is going beyond. And it's so pertinent what he is ministering on concerning prayer in the church at large. So it's just an honor to be here tonight and to receive what we did. I just can't emphasize that enough. So ushers, if you'll come forward at this time, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word of God. And Father, we thank you that we leave changed here today. We leave changed by your word. Father, we receive what you've given to us. And Father, we don't take those things lightly, but we purpose to be a doer of those things. And Father, that your house would be known as a house of prayer. And Father, that your people would cooperate with what you've called us to do. That your plan, that Father, souls, lives would be changed, that we would have the greatest impact in this day and age. To Father, first and foremost, reach people to your glory and to your praise. And Father, we thank you for an opportunity to sow good seed into good ground. We thank you that harvest is imminent. And Father, we thank you that it comes back, good measure pressed down, running over, shall men pour into our bosom. We give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Ushers, you may serve the people. Glory to God. Amen. I'm telling you. So are we going to pray for our pastors? Yes. Glory to God. Amen. And we're going to see the change and the difference. And it's just, it's so wonderful to be a student of Pastor Michael. Obviously, you can see how he flows in prayer. And his life is recognized or identified by prayer. He's a man of prayer. And he's said that time and time again through the family churches, but also in this church. And so let's take heed. My goodness, let's take heed and be doers of that and give ourselves to prayer. I see the ushers are going by. Why don't we go ahead before we dismiss? Why don't we just stand to our feet? Let's praise and worship the Lord for a moment. Father, we just bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. We thank you for this time together, Father. You're so good. Father, we love you. Father, we leave changed here tonight, and we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.